Well, again, good morning. Thanks for coming to church on this rather cloudy morning. But we're thankful for God's goodness. And thank you for waking up an extra hour, losing an hour of sleep. So anyway, let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Zechariah. It's one of those minor prophets in the Old Testament towards the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 11, and just hold your finger there, please. It's the book right before Malachi. Malachi is right before the Gospel of Matthew, if that gives you a point of reference. While you're turning there, just hold your finger. Like I said, we're gonna talk about some things this morning that are exciting. I'm super excited. I love vision. The Bible says, without a vision, the people cast off moral restraint. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. God is a God of vision. Scott had an amazing Sunday school class lesson about open my eyes, Lord. And, you know, that's what the Lord does give us, is vision, spiritual vision for our personal lives. But he also does that for our collective churches. Can I get an amen on that, please? Amen. So let me begin by saying that this past Wednesday marked my 2 years here as pastor of Locust Grove Church. Amen. And let me say, I'm just getting warmed up. Amen. You're stuck with me for a much longer time, people. Let's get that out of the way. All right. You got yourselves a crazy Mexican preacher. But let me say as well that my first aim, especially with a church our size, was for me to come in and establish relationships with you. That is more important to me than starting programs. Can I get a witness in the house? You know, I'm a hands-on people person. I love people. I think they're the greatest show on earth. How many of y'all have ever people watched? I love watching people. They are funny to me. They're funnier than the monkeys in the zoo, you know? So it's awesome. It's the greatest show. It's free. My aim was to come and get to know you, and so you can get to know me and see who I am, what makes my clock tick, so to speak, what makes me run as a person in terms of, you know, my walk with God and such. You know what I value spiritually. I know what you guys value spiritually. And let me say here before we go on that this is probably the healthiest church I have ever served in my 30 years of ministry. And I think you should give yourselves a big hand clap for that. One of my main goals in ministry, when I was younger, I think the Lord blessed me in spite of me, because I was all about, when I was in my 20s, I was all about hoarding church members. You know what that means is, you know, we've got to keep them in the house of God, even if we have to cater to everybody's wishes. Well, how many of y'all know I was a very tired young man? And church is not a country club. I'm going to state the obvious. Church is not a country club. We don't gather here. You don't have a paid membership. Your tithe is not a paid membership. Can I get a witness? Amen. You're here to worship Jesus. We are here to worship the Lord. So let me say here, my goal and my vision is not to hoard members. Let me break that down further for you. What I mean by that is, listen, whenever there's a pastoral change, there might be some people after a few months that will say, you know, he's not my 31 flavors of ice cream. He's not my cup of tea. He's not my whatever it is. And so they'll move on. And how many of us know that when they move on, we should bless them and not out of fear try to keep them at all costs? You know, let me say here that I've been in churches before where I had church members and some church leaders knock my spiritual legs from underneath me because I said, let them go. And they said, no, they went over and apologized to the person for something I might have said from the Word of God, from the pulpit. And they said, oh, pastor didn't mean it. Really? So are we after just keeping people? You know, Jesus said, I will make you what? I will make you fishers of. Nowhere in the New Testament does he say you are to be keepers of the aquarium. Amen or oh me. You guys dig this mess. You think this is a crazy preacher right there. Keep coming back, guys. What's that? Oh, that's a Tim. Yeah. They'll be here. We'll reserve your seats right here. Pop some popcorn for you guys. Anyway, you know, we're not here to keep the aquarium. We're not here to keep people happy. We're here to do the work of the Lord. Amen. Listen, my perspective of church growth is if we are busy, if we are about our Father's business, advancing his kingdom, our church cannot help but grow. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Fact, we are seeing new faces on a regular basis come to church. Would you say that we are not stagnating? No, the brook is a running brook. It's a living brook. All right? And so I'm encouraged mightily by that. I pray that you too would be encouraged by that, that there are people that God has put a heart for the ministries that are going forth out of this church. And let me say here, there are many, many awesome, powerful ministries. Ms. Dawn's helping the food distribution is an unbelievable ministry. Scott's Sunday school teaching is just off the charts. It is powerful. While we're on this, you know, because we're going to talk about discipleship here shortly when we look at the Zechariah verse, and that is that, you know, I is it okay? Can I say it this way, that I'm proud of our church for this several things, that when the word is taught, you don't just have one scripture and then a bunch of whole stories. You have a bunch of scriptures, and depending on who's teaching, if it's me, you have a bunch of crazy stories. Scott has some appropriate stories where they need to be. Right? Did I say something wrong? The key word is appropriate. But let me say here, church family, listen. More and more, I see more preachers going by way of just sharing one verse, and the verse is almost the springboard into a sermonette of a lot of stories, and maybe a good moral lesson at the end of the sermon. How many of y'all know that as people of the Bible, people of the book, people of the Word, we're not about that. We are here to dig deep. And I believe that God is honoring our church because we are honoring His Word. Amen? And we will keep honoring His Word. That means that I will not bow down to the pressure of the culture and the seeker-sensitive movement for me to water down God's word. Woe is me if I do not preach the cross of Christ. I will stand before the Lord and I will receive a stricter judgment. And when I look at the face of Jesus, I want him to look at me and smile at me. And he said, Joe, I will say this, you made mistakes, but you faithfully declared all my counsel, not just parts of my word. You. Exactly. That took me by surprise. It was like I had said that a couple weeks ago and the echo's just returning back. That's a boomer. That took a while for that. Thank you, Brent. How many of y'all see what I'm saying, church family? How many of you are on board? Say, you know what? Yes, we're going to do it God's way. Amen? We're going to seek first His kingdom. We're not about catering to people's little feelings. Now, conversely, we're not here to drive anybody away. But baby, listen, I've got bigger fish to fry. I can't be concerned if you thought that the Samaritan woman, that I was being too hard in one of my messages for the Samaritan woman, and so you quit coming to church. I'm telling you the truth. That did happen in this church. And if that's how easily you're going to be offended, move along. It's amazing, church family. I'm going to speak truth, okay? It's amazing how some people who have never had theological education, who have never gone, have never learned the original languages of the Bible, Hebrew or Greek, that all of a sudden that they become the experts on what the book says when they've never had one single course in Bible preaching. Ah, I feel better. I got that off my chest. All right, let's look at the Zechariah chapter 11 passage. We're going to jump into two verses of scripture here. How many of y'all are digging this vision so far? Okay, that sounded like a brr. That frog, I was hoping for the hello, my pastor, hello, my darling, hello, my sweetie pie. Hebrews. Zechariah chapter 11. Let's jump into verse 15. And the Lord said to me, next, take for yourself the implements of a what kind of shepherd? Foolish shepherd. Stop there. Anytime there is mention of a foolish something, there's usually mention of a wise person, right? And Jesus seemed to contrast, for example, the foolish builder who built his house on sand up against the wise builder who built his house on a rock. Very good. So here, understand, this is a judgment against Judah, and God is saying, I'm going to raise up for you foolish shepherds as a judgment. But please know that the opposite of what the prophet is saying here would constitute a wise shepherd. So let's see verse 16. For indeed I will raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are cut off, nor seek the young, nor heal those that are broken, nor feed those that still stand, but will eat the flesh of the fat and tear their hooves in pieces. Now I want us to read that out of the same passage, verse 16, out of the New International Version. Let's all look up at the screen, please. For I'm going to raise up a shepherd over the land who will not care for the lost, or seek the, or heal the, or feed the, but will eat the meat of choice sheep, tearing off their hooves. Now, this is a foolish shepherd. So can we agree this morning that a wise shepherd is someone who will shepherd over all those who are lost? And a wise shepherd will seek the young, or heal the injured, or feed the healthy. There is our vision for the next several years. This is what I'm going to devote all my time to. Not that I haven't already, but I'm devoting my time to care for the lost. Let's talk about them first. You know, Jesus had a heart for the least, the last, and the lost. What I mean by the lost, those who are drifting spiritually. Those who, for whatever reason, life has happened in their lives and you know, they've been discouraged or something has happened and, you know, their commitment to the Lord is not what it once was. And so my goal and our goal should be that we should reach out to those who are lost. I'm particularly talking about those who have once walked with Christ, who do have a relationship with Christ, but for whatever reason, they're not as committed. They're not as on fire. They're not as fervent. They're not as faithful as they once were. But there are also those who have never given their lives to Jesus Christ. And let me say here, you know, for the sake of our camera, if you're here or if you're listening, tuning in, my friend, listen, Jesus can be your very best friend in life. He will forgive all your sins. No matter what you've done up to this point in your life, Jesus loves you just as you are. He's not asking you to change yourself. He's just asking you to come as you are to Him and surrender the white flag and say, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. Jesus, come into my heart. Live within me. We've all done it. If you've done that already, raise your hand, please. Amen. How many of y'all know that that's the best decision you will ever make in your life? Period. Far and away. So that's part of our vision. Reach those who do not know Jesus Christ. Now, how are we going to go about doing that? How many of us know that because of the logistics, you know, one of the first things that they tell you in church evangelism is if you want to be effective, you have to have great visibility, you know. I think they would all suggest that we do what Pastor Rod did and build his house next to the freeway there, the highway. That'd be great, but we're not. We're off the beaten path. But how many of y'all know that God is still faithful? I don't consider that an obstacle. I think that's what God wants to do. And I think that what we have going here is worth the drive. A couple years ago when I was talking to Ms. Sheila, and she does so much with the radio ministry, man, I'll tell you, we would not be effective without Ms. Sheila doing what she does. Let's give her, yes, and Ms. Kayla has done a lot. Let's give them both a great hand clap. Ms. Sheila makes me look good. You guys get the mild me Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. Mercy me, we burn the house down, don't we, Miss Jen? Moving right along. So there's the loss. We have a heart for the loss, and because of Miss Sheila working with the radio station, we got an incredible deal with them to reach out. Listen, our reach is much farther because of that technology. We use Facebook well. We use social media as much as we can. We use YouTube to make it convenient to bring the message to you. And let me ask you humbly a question. How many of y'all believe that the message that is going forth out of Locust Grove is worth listening for the masses? Thank you. With that, another part of the vision is to heal the injured. Let me say here that part of that includes physical sickness. Now, if you read through, I'm reading through the prophet Jeremiah in my devotional time, and one of the emphases there that God has against the shepherds of that time, where they were lightly healing the wounds of God's people. They were not really tending to God's people when they were sick, when they were down, or even tending to their spiritual ailments. And I think you all know me well enough to know that I am not shy to get in my car and to go to hospitals to be with you guys when you need it. I am a shepherd. I have a shepherd's heart. I have, I bought that new vehicle with only 17 miles on it. It's got 21,000 miles already on it, that EcoSport. But that's because, listen to me, church family, today, less and less shepherds smell like sheep, and they resemble CEOs. That's not the way of the Lord. So my heart is to be with you guys when you need medical attention and you need a pastor. That's part of it. Another part of it is to share messages on emotional healing and spiritual healing. I believe that we all need that in our lives. To think that we have never been hurt in this life or betrayed or wounded deeply is to ignore what is. Amen? So that's part of the vision, is to heal the injured. Now, the next part has to do with discipleship, to feed the healthy. I believe we're going to draw all kinds of people to our church. You're going to draw the healthy, you're going to draw the injured, you're going to draw the lost, you're going to draw all kinds of people. And we've got to be prepared to tend to all of their needs. Can I hear a collective amen at this point, please? Amen? We've got to be prepared to tend to all these people from different walks of life and different stretches in their walk, because that's what the heart of the Lord is. And so we're going to feed healthy sheep. I believe, and I'm going to say this with all humility to the glory of God and to the glory of His grace and to the glory of His word. Listen, that here there are messages that if a mature Christian comes, they will can sit under the ministry of the teaching of the word here at Locust Grove. That was horrible. Let me say that again. I believe that mature Christians can come to this church and still be fed because they are healthy in the Lord. What's that?
Hello, my baby.
Hello, my darling. Hello, my pastor. Hello. Thank you, Shelly. See, she's got this. She's got it. Some of you need to get it. I'm almost done, people. I do believe that people can be fed here, that people can grow more. I love it when people come to me and they say, you know, Pastor Joe, I've never seen that in Scripture. Wow. I believe that the Word of God has that wow factor. Amen. It has been wowing me for decades, and it has not stopped. And I believe if it wows me, it can wow you. Right? He is a wow kind of God. Amen? He is a God of wonder and awe. That's what that means. When He is a God of wonder and awe, shouldn't we be in awe of this God? Yes. So it's feeding the healthy. Let me say here in closing, you will have a pastor's wife by June. She expressed to me that she wants to become a member of our church before she moves up here, before our wedding. So I'm going to give her a copy of the discipline for her to go through, skim through, read. If she has any questions, ask me, and then we'll submit her name to the council and go from there. But how many of you appreciate the vision this morning? How many know where we're headed? We know where we've come from, but we've got to know where we're going in the next several years. Amen? As a show of hands, let me just say it this way. Would you stand up if you are in agreement 100% with this vision? And while you're standing, we'll pray, and then we'll sing our closing hymn. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, I've shared my heart as best I could, Lord. Father, I want to see this church explode with vibrancy and spiritual thirst and hunger. Father, we want to be closer to You, Lord. I feel somewhat of a nervousness, Lord, like I'm standing on holy ground and in complete awe of this moment. But we believe, Lord, that we're going to do Your will. And we want to do it Your way. And we want things to happen in Your timing, Lord. But for us, help us to remain faithful. Help us to remain focused, Lord. Help us to remain on the straight and the narrow to Your glory as we seek to accomplish all this by Your grace and by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.